You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is Catherine Davis. On today's program, we are going to be talking about the deeper aspects of being. In our second segment, I'll be talking about a lecture that's coming up I'll be offering on vibrational intelligence. You'll be able to come and join me. We can meet and talk and really go into some deeper issues. And we're going to be talking about the language of existence and the building blocks of reality and connecting with the unity of self and the source of I Am Presence. So we'll be speaking about that in our second segment. In our first segment, we're going to go back and take a listen to an excerpt of a program by Bruce Lipton. And he is an amazing person, really. He is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit, a stem cell biologist, best-selling author of The Biology of Belief, and a recipient of the 2009 Goy Peace Award. He has been a great speaker on hundreds of TV and radio shows, as well as keynote presenter for national and international conferences. He began a scientific career as a cell biologist and received a PhD degree from the University of Virginia at Charlottesville before joining the Department of Anatomy at the University of Wisconsin in 1973. And his research on muscular dystrophy studies employed cloned human stem cells focused upon the molecular mechanisms controlling cell behavior. In 1982, he began examining the principles of quantum physics and how they might be integrated into his understanding of the cell's information processing systems. He produced breakthrough studies on the cell membrane, which revealed that this outer layer of cell was an organic homologue of a computer chip, the cell's equivalent of a brain. And he did research on this, and it brought him to the science of epigenetics. Two major scientific publications derived from these studies defined the molecular pathways connecting the mind and body, and many subsequent papers by other researchers have since validated his concepts and ideas. And we are going to be looking at just a small portion of his program, and the topics that we're going to be looking at are how we can understand how to change our subconscious programming and how to free ourselves from the past. And I believe that this is at the juncture where we are in our lives right now. We have an opportunity to really transform ourselves. But in order to do that, we have to understand how we've been programmed and how we can deprogram ourselves and begin to live the life of our dreams, live the life that our mission has brought us to Earth to live. So I think that this background is really important for our later discussion on vibrational intelligence, when we begin to look at the level of our being from the perspective of our cellular structure and having a cellular structure that is energetic in nature, so that when we engage in ourselves on this very deep level, we can heal and transform ourselves based on understanding certain methods and techniques. And so this is the topic, this is the focus of today's program. And I do want you to stay tuned for this upcoming segment with Bruce Lipton.
So now we come to this very, very important conclusion, and it comes to this. We're not biological automatons controlled by genes where all of our programs are manifest at the moment of conception and the rest of our life is just playing out the programs of the genes. This is not true at all. That we are dynamic individuals, that we live in the world, and biological organisms are capable of adapting to almost any kind of environment. The reason why they're capable of adapting is they're not genetically programmed, that the programs of the genes can change and be modified by the experiences of the individual and the experiences offered by the environment. That through the perception of the living organism, the perception can adjust the biology. But while a single cell has very basic, simple perceptual abilities, a cell can see if calcium is there or histamine or estrogen. When we get to the level of a human, we have a brain filled with trillion cells that lies between the world that we see and experience and the internal world of our biology. The function of the brain is perception. It's to read the world and then adjust the biology. And why this becomes relevant is then we have a nervous system whose function is to learn the experiences of life, acquire perceptions, and then guide our biology and our health through the world as we grow and mature. And yet now we recognize that that nervous system has two parts, the subconscious and the conscious. We also recognize that the conscious is totally creative, yet the subconscious, the more powerful of the pair, is also the one that runs from 95 to 99% of the time. So our lives are actually the printout of the programs in our subconscious mind more than it is the printout of programs we would envision with our conscious mind. What's very interesting about that is, do we have to go back and find out who programmed what and where into us and relive all those experiences? And the answer is absolutely not. Because the message from all those messengers, the people who brought us the experiences are the messengers, the message is what's in the subconscious mind. While cognitive therapy has a tendency to go kill the messenger over the message, it's not relevant who the messengers were. It's not even relevant to go back and identify when and how they occurred. The simple reason is this, because whatever we learned is operating present time out of the subconscious mind right now, and that our lives reflect the program in the subconscious mind. Well, we used to think of our deficits and the wants and needs and desires as being something we weren't able to obtain because we were more or less victims of the world and we just couldn't get there. The new understanding of biology says if there was any victimization, it occurred within the subconscious mind. It was not the universe. The universe will offer you anything. So the interesting reality is if you look at your life, you can already see the things you are missing generally reflect programs that won't allow you to get there, that your subconscious is already imbued with these programs of deficit. And so the interesting point is, okay, Bruce, you finally got me there. I got to see how I got programmed and then I bought other people's beliefs and that these other beliefs are running my life 95 to 99% of the time. But then you told me the program is a habit. It's a tape player and talking to the tape player doesn't change it. Now the question very clearly is, what can I do in the circumstance when I realize that the programs that I'm employing are not providing the life that I would really like? How can I change the programs? And the interesting answer is there are many different ways to change the programs. But talking to your subconscious mind is not one of the ways because, as I said, no one is in there. So the interesting thing about talking to the subconscious mind is how can you get that information to be incorporated in the subconscious mind? What you actually have to do is a process that would be tantamount to pushing the record button on the tape player that's playing the tape. So as you push the record button, what you put in now is going to rewrite the program. Well, how can you re-record the program? At first, when I started to come upon this information, I actually had no idea how to record the program, and it used to be very upsetting because I'd close my lecture with this really wonderful mechanistic understanding that we are programmed devices and our lives reflect the programs. And then, of course, it was a big letdown for the audience because at the very end, the first question is, well, okay, tell me how to change the program. And I used to sort of back away saying, well, you know, I can tell you about how the program works. I'm not familiar with it. So there was one point when I was giving lectures about how if you understand this new biology, you can create a life that's the equivalent of living in heaven on this planet right now, something I firmly believe. And when I was giving this, I'd also noticed that the people in the audience were a little bit unsure and skeptical about my advice that this could happen because they looked at me and they thought, for a guy who apparently knows all this stuff, your life doesn't look that great, Lipton. And that was when I started to realize that I would respond to them almost saying, and I'm glad I didn't say it, but essentially I said it was, well, do as I say, not as I do. Because I realized at some point, it's like, well, I'm talking about how you can have a great life, and my life wasn't that great. And then all of a sudden, it really dawned on me, said, my goodness, I have conscious awareness of all the mechanisms, but my subconscious is completely programmed by other beliefs than the ones I just acquired. And so even though I acquired all this new awareness, I'm still operating from the habitual tapes from my childhood. So I started to try to pay attention to what can I do about that. And I started listening to the voices that run through our heads when we're doing things. So, for example, when you're driving a car and let's say you come to the stoplight and you're waiting for the light, you can hear a dialogue going on in your head. Basically, it's tapes playing from the subconscious mind. And as psychologists tell us, about 70% or more of those tapes that are playing are negative and redundant. So when you get a moment, if you can hear some of those thoughts, just tune in every now and say, what am I thinking? Listen to them. Most of these kinds of thoughts are, oh, that will never work. Oh, that can't happen. Oh, I can't get that. These are almost all negating the things that we were looking for. And if you start to hear thoughts that are negating the direction you're going, then you'll have to recognize this, that powerful processor, that million times more powerful processor called the subconscious mind, operating 95 to 99% of the time with programs that say I won't get it, will actually end up providing me with things that I didn't want. Things that I couldn't get the things I wanted because my mind wouldn't even allow them to come in. So when as I started to listen to these, I started to recognize that in the process, I could actually hear something like a negative thing like, oh, that's not going to happen. And then I would consciously say, no, wait, that's not true. It can happen. I can get this. And I started to realize that if you become conscious of these thoughts, you can actually interact with them as they're being manifest and change them live time. Well, what happens is if you continuously do this process through something equivalent to habituation, you can lead to a rewriting of these codes. Now, but there's a problem with that. And that is, in the world that we live in, with so much activity and the speed of life that we go by, we really don't have at our fingertips the ease and comfort of sitting back to listen and communicate with our thoughts. So it's very hard to do this. This process I later found out was called Buddhist mindfulness, being mindful, being conscious all the time. And that alone is really where the power is for the simple reason. The conscious mind has all the wishes and aspirations and desires that you want for your life. If you stay conscious and stop daydreaming and stop thinking about the past and the future and be here now, then you are actually running the machine live with the intentions that you like. But the moment life starts to get busy and all of a sudden you start thinking about things and contemplating the past or the future, then you automatically start operating off of the mind that has the programs that do not support you. So Buddhist mindfulness is a way of getting there, but it's really difficult for most people to use that because of the time and the investment it takes to pay attention to your thoughts. So I later found there was another way that was very effective, and that would be clinical hypnosis. And the reason for why that is effective is simply is that that is the same state in which the subconscious was programmed originally. We were below alpha wave activity. We were in more or less theta wave activity, and theta is the hypnagogic trance. So I can go back into a hypnotic trance through a clinical hypnotherapist who can help me slow down my conscious thoughts, allow me to get into the hypnagogic state, and then reprogram the beliefs that were loaded into my subconscious mind. That is a very effective way as well. And lastly, there is now a whole variety of modalities that are collectively referred to as energy psychology. And the significance of energy psychology is that it's not cognitive therapy at all. It actually just deals with the energy in the field. It involves characteristics associated with superlearning, the ability to open up the brain and download information at rates of speed that are just phenomenal. And the relevance about all that is that using these varieties of different modalities of energy psychology, many of them have letters like EFT, TFT, EMDR, some of them are sort of body talk is one form, avatar is another, Psych-K is the one that I work with. These are a variety of modalities that allow us to impact the program in the subconscious using an energy process wherein we can change beliefs that have limited us our whole lives, 50, 60 years, change a belief in about 10 minutes or so and walk away a completely different person as a consequence of this. So basically what it really says is we start to get into a new understanding of who we really are. We are not the genes. We are not the physical body. We are the mind inside the system. The mind, via the perceptions, control every aspect of our biology, our behavior, and our genes. And that we must understand that if we experience problems in the world that we live in today, it's not because there's generally something wrong with us and our biology. It's almost inevitably associated with there's something wrong with our programming and our belief about who we are and why we are on this planet. Because if we begin to understand this nature, if we begin to understand that we can reprogram ourselves, we can free ourselves from the past, we can free ourselves from the limitation, we can change our health by changing our mind. I mean, the best example of something like that is consider the people who are laying on their deathbed, terminal cancer, everybody writing them off, thinking it's too late, they're gone. And all of a sudden, this person gets up and says, I'm not buying this. I don't care about it. If I only have a short time left, then I'm going out there and I'm going to live the life that I wanted to live, not the one that I was programmed to live. And it's interesting because these are the people, when they get up off of that deathbed and they actually change the style of their life, are the ones that express what is called a spontaneous remission. They change their perceptions change their biology. This is not an unusual thing. Many of you are actually very familiar with a pathology associated with that called multiple personalities. Interesting about multiple personalities, these are people that have a pathology in a sense where they actually switch from one personality into another personality. What's very interesting about this, while they are, of course, neurological switches that occur as they go from one personality to the other, almost every time there are also physiological and physical characteristics that switch at the very same time. That in personality A, they could have brown eyes, and in personality B, they can have gray eyes, and this changes in about a minute or so. That in personality A, they can have an anaphylactic response, let's say, to dogs. And then a minute later, when they switch into personality B, they could play in a whole pile of dogs and never have a problem with it. But you switch them right back to A, and then one dog will cause an anaphylactic response. And so basically what we recognize as people change their personality, they also accommodate the changes by changing their physiology and their physical selves as well. Well, this is a pathology and not a lot of people are interested in that. But how about real life issues like, actors? Actors are interesting in this regard because when they take on a character, they also acquire the personality to play the character. And the better the actor they are, the more the personality takes over their lives. Some actors can gain 40 pounds for a role, and then as soon as the role is over, lose 40 pounds. Some actors could be thin and frail and then play somebody like Cassius Clay in a movie, and the next time you see them, you see him and say, oh my God, look at the physical build on this guy. And then the last movie I saw him in, he was a skinny little rail. And all this came about from what reason? The ability to take on the personality, change the personality in their life, and operate their body from a different personality led to a different biology. All of these examples are very clear and positive examples of how the mind controls biology. This includes what we call the placebo effect. The placebo effect is a person is sick and is given a pill wherein the doctor says, this is the newest, most effective pill for what you have. It's just out of the research labs. You're really going to love this pill. And the doctor gives them the pill and they get better, only later to find out that the pill was really nothing more than sugar or chalk, that there wasn't anything in there except for the belief. And it's interesting because it's now found that the minimum 35 to 40% of any drug's action is directly related to the placebo effect. And what to me is very interesting is while the drug companies actually want to eliminate the placebo effect, I'm still really questioning as to why aren't we enhancing the placebo effect? Why don't we leverage our perception to work with us and to heal us rather than trying to fake ourselves out? Change our belief systems is what it's all about. And interesting, while the placebo effect represents an example of a positive belief that leads to a positive conclusion, there's an also equally powerful but oppositely directed effect called the nocebo effect. The nocebo effect is when someone tells you something bad news or some limitation that all of a sudden becomes yours because they told you that. And when you start to recognize that as well, good news can heal you, bad news can make you sick. People can actually die just because of the belief of bad news. People can generate issues of physiology that are not really manifest for any other reason than their belief system because they expect to. And all of a sudden, we start to really dabble into what is powerful in the world that we live in. Is it the physical machine? Is it the biochemistry, the genes, as the medical profession would have us believe, especially as the drug company would have us believe, because they sell us drugs to fix up who we are? And yet the reality is the new biology says it's completely different than anything we ever thought before, because we are not a genetic automaton. We are a device controlled by perception, and we control perception. And by doing that, we can control the lives that we have. Today, we live in a world that is on the brink of destruction. There are crises in every area of the world that we look at. Healthcare, people, governments, the ecology, everything is in a strange upheaval. And it turns out the scientists have recognized that the extinction that we are facing on the world right now is not due to anything other but our human behavior. And basically it says, for us to survive, we have to change our behavior. I personally am very familiar with this because having been there in the 1970s and starting to recognize that the conventional belief of genes controlling life was really wrong, that environment was important, I started to recognize that if I changed my perception of the environment, that I would change the life I lead. And it's interesting because I sit here today telling you this information only from the enthusiasm of a guy who has experienced it. My life was nothing that I would have loved to claim before. And yet today, at this very moment, I sit here talking to you, telling you, if there is a heaven, I firmly believe it is here on this planet right now, because the life that I'm leading with my new perceptions of the fact that the universe supports me and loves me, and I find that in the community of life, I now have a completely different life on this planet. I didn't take any drugs or chemicals for this. It was basically an understanding of changing our perceptions, our beliefs about life. It's belief that is powerful. I wasn't raised in the Christian tradition, and yet I refer back to the master teacher Jesus, and he was the man who said, you could renew your life with your beliefs. I fully see that now as a scientific fact, and it's important because he said you can do all of the miracles that he could do, even better than he can do, but he said you didn't believe. And that, again, is the truth. So what I leave you with is a little piece of advice, and you hope you will follow it, and that is, recognize this. The world fully supports who we are. If there are any problems, it's usually acquired from other people who had put us down and taken away power from us. That you are fully powerful to do all the miracles that Jesus talked about, but you have to believe so. To believe so, you have to find out what programs in your subconscious mind are not supporting you and begin to change those programs into programs that encourage your vitality, your health, your life, your prosperity, and your love on this beautiful planet called Earth. Thank you.
Wow. And that was Bruce Lipton. And Bruce Lipton is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit, a stem cell biologist and best-selling author of The Biology of Belief. And for those who want to learn more about Bruce Lipton, you can go to his website, brucelipton.com, BRUCELIPTON, brucelipton.com. And if you would like to hear this whole program, it's a multiple CD program that you can find at soundstrue.com, and do a little bit more research on this work of Bruce Lipton. I find it extremely inspiring because it really does link directly into my understanding of reality, and it really supports each of us in understanding that we are supremely powerful beings and we can heal and transform our lives. There are many, many different techniques and modalities that you could find something to resonate with, but more important than searching out that modality is coming to the understanding so that you can begin to shift your own belief system from thinking that you are controlled by the forces around you or even controlled by the programming that's been implanted either through your childhood or perhaps through media or religion, that we can forge a new path for ourselves and become self-responsible, but also to be able to create this amazing world in which we live. And I say amazing because if you think about the implication of what's being said, what Bruce Lipton is talking about, if we take it to a larger scale in terms of politics of war and peace, we can see how the programming and the manipulation are in many ways creating the energy of the world that we find sometimes very distasteful. And I look at this now in the age of Trump, in which the energy and the mindset that he brings to the political discourse has opened the door and expanded the energy of judgment, has expanded the energy of racism, has expanded the energy of fear. And those people who are living under the spell of this energy that's being put forth into the world begin to function and resonate at that level. And we're seeing a lot of this come to the fore in violence, more violence in the world, and a real political discourse coming from our own Congress in which people are not cared for. We see with this new health bill put forth by the Republicans that it eliminates the elderly. It eliminates people who are already sick and dealing with problems. It creates a necessity for people to pay a lot more for their health care than they would have under the current system. And people are buying into this to some degree out of the fear mongering, out of that energy that's putting out in the world. And I think it's really important for us to do things, two things, maybe three things, is to recognize that this is part of what's happening so that we don't fall victim to it, but we remain in control of ourselves and our lives and our energy fields, but also so that we can begin to manifest the counterpoint and really understand that the choices we make for ourselves and for our own lives are reflected in the world around us. We recognize it as being reflected in our immediate world and relationships and work, but also it begins to coalesce into a transformative impact on the larger dynamic. And I know that it is a kind of a messy business right now dealing and engaging with the world, but we can find ways to deal with it directly. There are many events that we can engage ourselves, whether it's protesting and marching. And for me, that is, again, another opportunity to coalesce, to bring together the intent and the energy of resolution and peace. And I think it works more on that level than it does in trying to convince a politician to pay attention. It's that we create a larger dynamic in the world that can begin to impact those people who are under the spell of the toxic forces that appear to be in control of our political discourse and in control of the outcome of this, all of this, where, you know, it puts life in danger, puts the earth in danger. The real objective is to not go into that fear, but to go into our own inner self-empowerment. And we're going to be talking about that coming up in our next segment. And I call this conversation vibrational intelligence because it allows us to go deep into the conscious awareness of our being, that so-called mind intelligence, which I consider to be more expansive and more connected to the whole, the all, than would suggest by thinking that it's just our mind that needs to be in control. When we go deeper than the mind into the soul, into the spirit, into the energy vibration, it's a way in which we can really tap into that presence, that divine presence, that higher intelligence that can help us to take hold of our own lives as well as contribute to the soup within which we live here on planet Earth. Stay tuned, and I'll be back in just a few moments.
I don't know. I hear them in the music on my radio. Wisdom of the winds, faces in the clouds, rhythm of the rains, oh mountain standing proud. Prepare me for a special place. Tell me I've no time to waste. Challenge me to face my life's request. Encourage me to do my best. Everywhere I go and everything I see, flying in the air, speaking truth through me. I am a curious spirit child who fell to earth through a crack of lightning. But God, so kind and merciful, sent old souls to guide me on. Yeah.
And welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and I wanted to go a bit deeper into the concept of vibrational intelligence. And certainly Bruce Lipton is infinitely qualified to give us an understanding of the epigenetics of the mind and the body. But I also wanted to look at, deepening that understanding that we are indeed, at the cellular level, energetic beings. And, it's very simple. We can see that in the fact that the smallest constituent of matter is the atom. The atom is electrical in nature, composed of a nucleus, which is made of protons and neutrons and electrons, which are bound to the nucleus. The protons have a positive electrical charge, and the neutrons have a negative electrical charge. The protons and neutrons are attracted to each other, and the number of protons determine the chemical constituent. The number of electrons influence the magnetic properties of the atom. So, we can understand how this works in terms of its structure, its electrical structure. But I think a part of what Bruce Lipton is suggesting and how I understand this is that this system that is the makeup of our human body and our human nature is not just chemical substance, but it's really about information. The structure of the atom and how the protons, neutrons, and electrons are configured conveys information, and that information delivers and determines the cell purpose and the health or lack of health of the actual cell. But when we go deeper into our understanding of this nature, we really need to understand that we're talking about delivery systems of information and understanding. And so if we are at the most minute level governed by the delivery of information systems, we have to ask ourselves, from where is this information coming? And we live in a world in which we are programmed from birth to have certain kinds of belief systems. And those belief systems are what is programming the structures of our body and ultimately of our life. But when we can go deeper than the actual electrical nature of our system and go directly into the superconsciousness, the divine consciousness, then we have a way of truly being sovereign and understanding who we are and what our nature is truly meant to be in this existence. And so I'll be going into this a little bit more at a lecture, and we're going to be looking at as vibration as the language of existence and the building block of reality. And we're going to be going into some practices to connect with the unity of self and source in our I am presence of being. And this I am presence is really the presence from which our true understanding and our true expression of being originates. And we will cover some basics to clear our energy fields and align with quantum being. And the quantum being is understanding that we are living in this physical reality, but what we see from the perspective of looking in the mirror, looking into our world, looking into the political scene, is really a very small portion of who we are in totality in our being. And when we can withdraw focus from what appears to be the physical reality, what appears to be the truth of our being, we can go much deeper into that self, that aspect, facet of ourself that exists beyond our physical life. We have a facet of our being that continues eternally, and that is the force, the motivating force for our current life, but has also been the motivating force for other life experiences. And this facet of ourselves, the higher self, the divine self, has a much, much grander perspective of who we are in our lifetime and can be of great assistance to show us the way to separate ourselves from our programming. We live in a world that is despiritualized, that is very much controlled for the sake of power brokers. And we live in a system that is indeed a power game. And it's important for us to be able to recognize that and to withdraw from that level of control. Not to pretend it doesn't exist, because pretending it doesn't exist puts us into a spell and we become even deeper in the state of control. But to actually be able to witness and see how the tentacles of control have manipulated our sense of self, our capacity to have a value for our own being, to have a real understanding that we are very special, very sacred. Each and every one individually has come into the world to express and to live and to enjoy and to be able to create anew in this life. But our political systems and our religious systems have programmed us to be self-destructive, have programmed us to be consumers rather than beings of power and to be able to really engage in the world as a creator. So it is really important for us to bridge this understanding and be able to recognize the ways in which we have become our own jailers, the ways in which we have become our own abusers, the ways in which we have shrunk due to the fear, due to the lack of belief in our own abilities, due to the fear that if we stand up and stand out, we are going to be attacked or destroyed. So we have so many things programmed into us that it's almost impossible for us to be in the fullness of who we are. And from my perspective, the way to reach into this fullness is by taking a step into the vibrational field of existence, taking a step into the recognition that it is the vibrations of the programming that we receive through the media and various means that is programming our cellular structure, that is programming our capacity to think, or at least limiting our capacity to think and be and express in fullness. So, and this is really how we can live and express and reach our fullest potential. And as we begin to have this recognition, then we do become the creator beings that we are. And we can create for ourselves a life that is magnificent. And this can happen despite what's going on in the greater world. We can begin to have that impact because we are engaging with energies and thoughts that are supportive, sustaining, and healing. And we begin to walk in the world with an understanding that this field of our energy that exists within and around us has a very powerful impact. It's a very powerful force, and it's something that we can take back from those systems of control. So that's what this lecture will be about, vibrational intelligence. I'm going to be sharing actual meditations and techniques that we can use. And the work that I do is primarily as a Qigong practitioner and healer, and that's vibrational, understanding practices of the vibration of our body. I'm an energy healer. I do hands-on healing and a spiritual doula, which is a counseling for people who are working through this process for those who want that kind of support and assistance. But this is something that is every human being is capable of engaging on this journey and charting their own path. And what I hope to do is just share some of the processes that I have used to pull myself out of that matrix. The matrix is one in which our awareness is controlled from the outside. And my goal is that each and every one of us will be in self-sovereignty with regard to our awareness and with regard to our energy and the implication of that to bring us into fullness as creator beings so that we can create our lives as we are destined to, and we can recreate our earth also as we are destined to do. And really, it's an experiential lecture on vibrational intelligence. Also, coming up, I will be starting a new ongoing series, and it's called Spring Up and Stay Grounded with Qigong Meditation and Movement for Body Wellness and Stress Reduction. And in this series, every Saturday in April, and we will work to restore your vitality, lubricate your joints, and stretch your muscles. Ease your mind, let go of body tension, and awaken a natural state of inner peace. Join us. For those of you who are not able to write down this information, you'll be able to go to the PRN website, prn.fm, and you'll see all the information about this really important series coming up in April. For those of you who are serious, if you're serious about healing your body and your life, if you're serious about moving into an expansion of your being as a creator being, then I invite you to engage in one of these ways. You could even explore more expansively what the potentials are in terms of what you can do in your life and in the world at this very deep and sacred level. So please explore that. For those of you who have questions, you can always reach me by email. My email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And you can leave a message on my phone line, which is 347-480-1694. And I have a new blog that I've started. It's called Body Ascension, because it really does focus on these issues that are very important right now to heal our body, to heal and elevate the energetic vibration of our physical body. We're living at a time of a very powerful transition, and we're seeing the impact of these energetic transitions with the spewing forth of negative energies, because they are in the process of being released from ourselves and from the systems in which we live that are ultimately most likely going to either transform or crash. But we don't want our physical bodies to crash. So what we want to do is to be able to transform our body. The conventional wisdom coming into 2012 and coming out of 2012, which was the end point of the age, the old age and the beginning of the new age, is that people thought that we would magically ascend into these fifth dimensional higher beings. But the truth of it is, this process of transformation was needed, in which the toxicity has to be eliminated from our body, the toxicity has to be eliminated from our living systems, from our environment. And the best starting point for all of this is with our body. We really can work through the upliftment and the healing of our body through our vibrational understanding, through techniques that can transform and uproot some of these implants that are in our energetic system from the programming, from our childhood history. So this is really what body ascension is about. It's a way for us to begin to navigate this process of bringing our bodies into a state of pristine elevation. Now, I'm not speaking of, you know, looking pretty for the magazine page. I'm not speaking of some arbitrary guidelines that may have been programmed into your mind about what you're supposed to look like and be like. I'm talking about reaching deeper into your soul self, into your template to revive the original plan for your life and to heal your body and bring it back to its fullness, its richness, so that you can enjoy your life, so that you can express freely and be creative and have, you know, just beautiful experiences. This is what life is meant to be. And the new blog, Body Ascension, is for this conversation. And I stress conversation because it allows me to put some ideas out there, some techniques out there, some videos, some audio, and it allows you to respond and ask questions. And there's this room for a dialogue and a growth and a development of understanding and of community to support this process. And you can find this blog at bodyascension.wordpress.com. I invite you to go there and follow the blog and stay connected to all that we are doing here over the Progressive Radio Network and over Heart of Mind Radio, where we are doing a great deal to transform consciousness and to be able to empower each other to take right action and to take back our lives from this awful programming. And, you know, there's a lot of political discourse in which, you know, the dynamic is to say that lives matter, black lives matter, all lives matter. Well, I believe that all of that is true, but we have to also take back that my life matters. And I want you to say this: my life is important. My life is sacred. My life is valuable to myself, to my family, and to this world. And I claim my being, I claim my life, and I claim my purpose. It's so important for us to start from that space, to start from that place of having a full understanding and claiming of this process. I want to thank you very much for joining me over Heart of Mind Radio, and stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network.
Sulfide mine, 20 years here, then you leave it behind. We don't want your acid brine seeping in the river, noxious wine. Short-term job creation, long-term devastation. Don't want your pollution crime. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. Your company wish, pretty plants served on a copper dish. What do we have when you finish? Messed up rice and poison fish. Pocket profit and you're gone first class. We get a toxic drinking glass. Bottom line's a dollar sign. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. Science fair, water goes back in the air. Put in the water what you made, you breathe it in some other day. Drinking a well, wish and dream. Precious water, precious water, living stream. We don't want your careless plan creeping in this forest land. Water we demand. We don't want your helping hand, your economic contribution. don't want your noise pollution in our ancient pine. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. We don't want your mind. Lesson science fair. Water goes back in the air. Put in the water what you may. You breathe it in some other day. Drinking well, wish and dream. Precious water, precious water. Living stream. We don't want your sulfide mine. 20 years here, then you leave it behind. We don't want your acid brine seeping in the river's noxious wine. Short-term job creation, long-term devastation. Don't want your pollution crime. We don't want your mind. 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 Precious water. Precious water. Precious water, precious water, living stream.